Matter of fact, I was thinking about getting a chair. I'm a little older today. I thought maybe it'd be better if I preached sitting down. And Harvey, I'm still bigger than you. Be careful. Be careful what you say. So we are in Matthew chapter 5. We've been, over the last several months, kind of going step by step through the Sermon on the Mount. We went through the Beatitudes. Blessed are those. The good life belongs to these people. Last week we talked about salt and light. And just what that means, and we're going to kind of come into an interesting section that's going to kind of propel us through the body, if you will, of this sermon. This is kind of the introduction to this body that's coming up, the parts that we really don't like talking about. Matter of fact, if you have headings in your Bible, the next heading over verse 21 of chapter 5 is anger. So if you aren't here next week, I'm going to know you don't want to talk about anger. So I'm putting you all on notice. I'm going to pay attention to who's not here next week. But as we go this morning, I want to make a special mention to the people sitting right behind us. It's the Webb family. David and I have known each other for, I was trying to count. It's like 35-ish years. Not to date you, but I always try to do this to make myself feel better. David was my counselor for 2 years at Blue Haven. So he's a lot older than I am. I think I was in junior high when you were my counselor. Maybe freshman, high school, maybe. David serves on the board with me of Blue Haven and has for a very long time. He was the board treasurer for over 20 years, and now he's in charge of communications. The reason I mention him this morning is you guys know me well enough to know that I adapt. They showed up, I adapted. Because there's something I want to bring out about David that I think is going to help us start into this discussion. David's carried a lot of titles over the years with Blue Haven. But the title that he has never heard before that I'm going to give him, bestow upon him today, carefully, is Root Tender. Root Tender. Now, let me explain that, because that was just, I mean, that came up in 10 minutes, all right? So I got to put a little explanation behind it. There is no one that I serve with on the board of Blue Haven that does more to tend to the root of Blue Haven than that man right there. He makes sure that this new idea, this new and modern time, as society has a tendency to grow, he makes sure we don't forget where it started. And there's value in that, isn't there? On his way, I think it was on your way here. You stopped in Amarillo. Or where is Scotty right now? Denton. Scotty Witt, that started Blue Haven in 1956, is still alive. He's in a care facility, and David stops. He's got dementia, but David said, man, he still knew who I was. What a blessing that was. But the value of connecting, if you will, because it's so easy for us in modern society, in the modern world, to get just, we forget oftentimes. We forget where it all started, where it all began. And so as Jesus starts this momentum into this sermon, he's kind of drawing, again, I want you guys to envision, put yourself in this place that Jesus is on the side of the mountain, really talking to his 12. He's spending time in this intimate conversation, giving them some life. And as he's doing that, more and more people are starting to gather and to hear some of his message. But in the midst of this message, he gets to this place that's become, you don't know this if you just started out in Matthew, but you know that Jesus has had conflict with several people in relationship to the law. There's been a lot of conflict, especially like with the Sabbath day, because Jesus is healed on the Sabbath, and they're like, hey, what's going on? Why are you doing that? Don't you know that that violates the law? And so there's been a lot of contention around the law. But with that being said, Jesus isn't ushering in something that is disconnected from what used to be. I think it's important for us to understand that. I've heard this a lot. Oh, I don't spend any time in the Old Testament. It's the new, it's the Old Covenant. Let's talk about the New Covenant. I'm here to tell you right now, you can't appreciate the new covenant unless you have an appreciation of the old. That there's a connection there that has an incredible value to it. And as we talk about this morning, I was thinking about my oldest son. There's a calculation that you have to learn when you go to school. All right, for all of you back there in school, this is a calculation. I'm not talking about math, where it's addition and subtraction. I'm talking the calculation that you have in your mind that happens very quickly. You have to learn this. How much effort is required for me to put into this class to pass? I can remember my cousin Robert saying, when I would sit down with the syllabus in college and look at it and see what was required of me, I would say, okay, the best I can do in this class is a B. So I'm going to give B effort. I just didn't go to class. So I don't know what anybody's talking about. But the calculation is how much effort, and so many times we go into life that way, don't we? How much effort is required of me to accomplish something? Kyle, when he was in first grade, the PE teacher, said, all right, this is going to be the grade for this 9 weeks or semester, I don't remember. I'm going to time you today in the mile. And then at the end of the semester, I'm going to time you again. If you better your time, you get an A. Calculation. Kyle walked the mile that day. Makes perfect sense to me, right? That way he's assured the A. I don't even have to work. I can just walk it today and run it, you know, in 2.5 months, and I'm going to get an A. And that's kind of our approach. When we get to this place where we want to oftentimes say, well, the law was over here, it was the Old Testament, and now we've ushered in this grace and mercy with Jesus Christ, and therefore I don't really have to pay much attention to that anymore. Have you heard that? Or, woo, grace. Have you heard that? And all of a sudden, we're not paying attention to life. Because we have the grace card. And as long as I have the grace card, what's the value in that old stuff? Well, let's see what Jesus thinks about the old stuff. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. Another term there translated out in the Hebrew would be to dismantle. So instead of abolish, think of the word dismantle or tear down. Do not think that I have come to tear down or dismantle the law of the prophets. I have not come to tear it down to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Don't forget, how did I start this section on the Sermon on the Mount several months ago? We're going to ask ourselves multiple times as we study this text, did he really say that? Did he really say that? Think of the first audience for a second. The measure of rightness, the measure of the ability to be law followers, those people were the Pharisees. They were the scribes. And that was the measure. That's what they looked at and said, wow, I wish I could do that. And now he's saying, if you're not greater than that, then you won't enter the kingdom of heaven? Did he really say that? He really did say that. Why did he say that? Well, let's start with the first section. Jesus said, I didn't come to dismantle what God made perfect. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law was perfect. Why do I know that? It's from God. And every time God does something, guess what? It's good, right? We can go all the way back to creation. When God created, when God did, it was good. Right? And so I know that the law is good. So why in this modern era are we just trying to eliminate it? Well, I think we're trying to eliminate it because we're doing a calculation in our minds. And the calculation is this. I can't do that. Or what's the least I can do and still get in? I imagine counselors deal with that question, huh? What's the least amount that I can do for God and still have entrance? And so from the very beginning, we're approaching it from an idea of, I've got to follow this, and how much, what's a passing grade? And God, when God sent the law down to Moses, he said, follow it. When Jesus rescued the adulterous woman from her accusers, and they all left, he said, don't sin anymore. When Jesus made mandates, he did it in a finality, in a finished form. And he calls us to this place, but unfortunately, we take God's word, and we take grace, we lay it over the top of everything, and we quit trying. We quit trying. And so as he's saying this, I want you guys to understand, I want you guys to hear this, because I think it's important for us to understand that I think there was a lot of people, because of the conflict that Jesus had, particularly with the Pharisees, I think that they were concerned that he's ushering in something that's vastly different than what we've always done. And he's like, no, that's not what I'm doing at all. But you're not doing it right either. How many rule followers do we have out here, besides Lana? Got a few more. They're just rule followers, right? And sometimes you wake up and you don't even realize why you're following it. It's because you were told to. Or because mom and dad had an expectation of you to do that. Or because your spouse has an expectation. Or whatever. But there's sometimes we don't even know why we do what we do. We just do it. And so I'm going to bring into the light for just a second one of the conflicts that Jesus had with the Pharisees, and it was the Sabbath. And they're like, don't you know? Don't you know that this is one of the commands? And before we go into that, I do want to identify, and I think it's important for us to understand, that the Ten Commandments, okay, the Ten Commandments all have to do with relationship. Every one of them. They either have to do with relationship with God, or relationship with each other. Every single one of them, look at them. They're all relational. They have to do with our relationship with God or our relationship with other people. And so from the very beginning, we need to understand how relational God was, because he's trying to command people to do better and to live better for people and for him. And so in the midst of this ideology, I want you to understand that when the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, man, you're breaking the law because you're not honoring the holy day. I need you to hear this. They were so fixated on following the law that they were not following the one that made the day holy. See, we can separate God from the law. I think that's the hardship sometimes for us, is we can suck God out of it, and it's just a rule book, right? Every household has rules, doesn't it? And some less than others, some more than others. But every household has rules. But if we suck the intent out of it, all they are is just rules. And so while they're complaining about Jesus and frustrated with Jesus because he's breaking the holy day, what they don't realize they have done is they have forgotten who made it holy. They're not honoring God with the holy day anymore. Matter of fact, they're out there policing the holy day to make sure you didn't take so many steps, to make sure you didn't do this, to make sure you didn't do that. Why? Because they're trying to protect the integrity of the law, when the reality is they forgot who gave them the law. And so oftentimes when we get into a very ruley society, we forget oftentimes what the point of the rule or what the point of the law is. We create, when Jesus' disciples are condemned because they didn't wash their hands before they ate. Y'all remember that one, right? Lana would be super irritated with you if you didn't do that. Right? They were irritated. And he's like, hey, they're breaking, come to Jesus, and they're breaking the law. They're not washed, because this is the Levitical law. This was the law given to the priests, that they wash and cleanse themselves before they offer sacrifice to God. And they thought, man, that was such a good idea. We should implement that on every way, everyone, when you eat at home, too. Sound like a good idea? Sure, right? Unless you live by the drink out of the garden hose and build up immunity, then you don't wash your hands before you eat, right? You build up immunity. But the reality is, they fell so much in love with all the rules that they're starting to make new rules that aren't bad, but now they're holding people to a standard on these that weren't the intent. They were never the intent. And so when Jesus says, listen, I didn't come to dismantle what God has already made. I came to make it full. I came to give it life. Because everyone in the Old Testament, the Israelite community, as they are from the time of Moses forward, they're reflecting back on this law, and it's just still something that was chiseled into stone. Let me ask you a question. If I know it's wrong to do something and do it anyway, that's kind of shameful, right? And I might not even give it a second thought. But if my wife asks me not to do something and I do it anyway, it's different, isn't it? Jesus brings the law to fullness. He's taking something that was chiseled out on stone and it's like, listen, you guys are just doing this as a matter of practice, as a matter of this is what we're supposed to do. I'm telling you that the law brings fullness of life. I'm not saying you should live this way. I'm saying we should be this way. There's a difference between trying to live out something and trying to be something. Jesus is saying, I am asking you, I'm telling you, I'm not dismantling it. I am breathing ruach into it. I am breathing life into the law so that you guys don't see it as a rule book. You see it as an intended purpose because this is who God called me to be. See, what Jesus is telling his people in this sermon that we have labeled Sermon on the Mount is, listen, it's not about the rules. It's about being who God wants you to be. It's not about the Sabbath day. It's about honoring the God that made that day holy. It's not about being angry. It's not about thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's not about those things. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's about understanding that I'm bringing life into these things. And I don't want you to do them, but I don't want you to do them just for the sake of not doing them. I don't want you to do them because God doesn't want you to do them. I don't want you to do them because you should be following God. You should be being transformed into who God desires you to be, not in who you think you should be. And so as he finishes this section, he's saying, I'm losing my voice, sorry. Y'all are probably grateful for that. As he finishes this section, verse 19, he said, therefore, whoever relaxes on the least of these commands and teaches others to do so, the same will be called least in the kingdom. Because the reality is that's what we do in our humanness, isn't it? We're like, this one's a big one. This one, not so much. Don't pay as much attention to this rule as this rule. And we start dismantling the law. We start making it more relevant to who we are. Or maybe that was back then. And it's not right now. And so as a result, we have diminished some of it, and we have exploited some of it. But the reality is, God, why Jesus is saying, why are you doing that? Is one greater than the other? He's asked, right? He's asked, which is the greatest? What's the greatest of all the commands? Love the Lord your God. Why is that the greatest? Because if you don't have that, the rest of it doesn't matter. Y'all see that, right? You can be a Pharisee. What does Paul say? As to the law, blameless. Ooh, anybody in here say that? Paul says blameless as to the law. But so oftentimes we forget what the point of the law is. It wasn't to make us better rule followers. It was to get us to see that God's intention was for us to have a good relationship with Him and with each other. And in order to do that, we need to understand and appreciate God Himself. Because it was established to reconnect us to God. And so Jesus said, I didn't come to tear all that down. I came to breathe life into it. And when I breathe life into it, you're not going to follow the rules because they're rules. It's just going to be a way of nature. It's going to be a way of life for you. Why? Because that's what God wants from you. It's not how little can I do. It's how much can I do. You know, I have a question. It's my least favorite question in all of car business. I have a customer walk in. This doesn't happen much anymore because Hunter doesn't let me come to the office much anymore. I think he thinks I get in the way. But back in the good old days when I used to talk to customers, they would walk in and the first question they would have, what's the least I can put down? And I would always tell them, that's the wrong question. They would look at me very confused because they've been trained their whole life that that's the right question to ask when you walk into a car dealership. What's the least amount I can put down? I said, you should be asking me what's the most you can put down. Because the most is going to advantage you a lot more. And I think we've approached God so oftentimes by saying, what's the least I can do? Man, just give me the minimums. The credit card payment. If you bought a pair of Nike shoes, how much is a pair of Nike shoes now? $150? Probably. If you bought a pair of Nike shoes on a credit card, for $150, make the minimum payment every month. Take you 2.5 years to pay them off. Yeah. But that's kind of our approach to life. What's the least amount of energy? What's the least amount of effort? What's the least? And as a result, we're sitting there asking God to bless us, but we're giving him the minimum. Y'all ever think about that? We want the maximum from him, don't we? We want his grace, we want his love, we want his assurances, we want everything that he offers, but for the low, low price of this. And I'm here to tell you this morning that when Jesus brings to attention the law, he is saying, listen, I am the fullness of this because I need you guys to fall in love with me. I need you to fall in love with my Father, because if you are in that relationship, the law becomes second nature. You're doing those things already. You're living that way already. Because it's who God called you to be. Because I'm in love with him. The law won't love you back. But Jesus will. Don't fall in love with grace and mercy. Be grateful for it. But live the life that God's called us to live. See, in this moment, as I started off, Jesus is being a root tender. I would imagine some of his followers right now, especially if you've watched The Chosen, especially Judas, in this moment is probably going, we're going to overthrow it all. We're going to tear it all down. We're going to start from scratch. And Jesus is saying, I'm not starting from scratch. I'm not saying what God did was bad. I'm saying our approach to it's bad. We need to change our approach. We don't need to change rules. We just need to change the approach we have to the rules. How can I be greater than a Pharisee or a scribe? By understanding the intent. By understanding who's behind it, by falling in love with the creator of it. This is the law was to direct us to that. And as he says, I didn't come to tear down the law or the prophets, but to make them complete, make them whole, so that we might have an understanding not of how to live life, but so that we might have an understanding of who we live it for. So that we might see God in all of this. My challenge for us this morning is quit following the law just to say you follow the law. Oftentimes we follow it just to hold it over somebody else's head, right? It's the gold standard. I've told you guys before. You have people in your life, you're like, man, they got it figured out. If I could just be like that guy. Y'all ever said that about Jadon Poindexter? Yeah. If I could just do that. If I could just do this. If I could just do that. Spend every day. I loved what Hunter talked about in class this morning. He gave me a sneak peek at that earlier in the week about his conversation with his brother. When Hunter was frustrated, because Hunter gets frustrated sometimes. I don't know anybody gets more frustrated than him. But and Kyle challenged him with the statement. Did God have a good day today? It's a different question. Brings a whole new meaning to life, doesn't it? When we become so focused within, which is the Pharisee, because they're focused on following this law to the point that it exhumes a hierarchy, an ability to achieve. But did God have a good day today? Did I deny myself? Were my circumstances about me? Or did I live today for God? That's what Jesus is saying here. He's like, man, don't get so caught up in the rules that they just become rules. See who's behind them. See the beauty of life when they're lived by them. See that I'm not up there keeping score. I want you to fall in love with God. I want you to not so zero in on the Sabbath day that you forget why you're even keeping it. I don't want you to zero in so much on the fact that the disciples didn't wash their hands that you forget what the purpose was in the original law. You guys have heard me say this before. We started creating laws and rules to protect rules. And so far, we get so far down that path that we forget what the original rule was. When God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of that tree. That was the rule. But when Satan approached Eve, he said, did God really say not to eat of that tree? He goes, Eve says. He said, don't even touch it. He didn't say that. But that's what we do. We create rules to protect rules, and we get four rules down, and we forget what we're even doing anymore. And it's partially because we forget who the author of those rules are. Who wrote them? And his desire behind them was to restore relationship with him. Thus restoring relationship with each other. The greatest command is this. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's out of Deuteronomy. Jesus goes above and beyond when he's asked the question of what's the greatest command. He adds one to it that's out of Leviticus. And like it, love your neighbor. That's the summation of the law. Wrapped up in those two things. To build, restore, and reciprocate relationship with God. What Jesus adds to the law was fulfillment. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, I'd ask that you come as Jason leads us in an invitation song.